You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. You can access shows live or as a podcast by going to kuci.org. This is In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. I am Katrina Kirkby, your Master Gardener host for the hour. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a really exciting show. This is a program called In the Garden, and usually we talk about plant life, but today we're going to be talking about coyote life, and especially coyotes in urban Orange County. And I'm really fortunate today to have Dr. Neve Quinn. She is the University of California Cooperative Extension Human-Wildlife Interactions Advisor. What a title. Based at South Coast Research Center, Research and Extension Center here in Irvine, California. Good morning. Welcome, Doctor.
Thanks very much, Katrina. It's great to be here.
I am so excited about this show today. We all know about coyotes in Orange County, and we've been having some issues in the last year or two, or many years, and they seem to be becoming more and more pronounced. And today we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be talking about this wonderful new app you have to report coyote issues. And why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are to start off with and what you do and where you're located, and we'll go from there.
Cool. Well, I'm Neve Quinn, and I am the Human Wildlife Interactions Advisor for UC Cooperative Extension, and I cover human wildlife conflict issues in LA, Orange, and San Diego County. And I'm also affiliated with the statewide IPM program, so that means that I travel outside my county sometimes to help with issues outside of those counties.
And what is IPM?
IPM is Integrated Pest Management, and it's all about a kind of a stepwise approach to pests. And, you know, coyotes are not generally thought of as pests, but, you know, they do cause problems to many, many people, particularly in Southern California. So some people think of them as wildlife and some people think of them as pests, and some people think that we should just leave them be and, you know, let them do what they do.
You know, I think in some occasions they are just wildlife, and in some occasions they are pests, so they probably fit into more than one category.
And I think that's true for every pest. You know, pests are generally sometimes, well, not generally, but sometimes they're introduced species, so there's probably a range in which that pest is not considered a pest. It's actually a native species to, you know, a particular crop or a particular area, but then it comes to California, for instance. Something like the shot hole borer, you know, it damages the trees, but, you know, in its native range, it probably has, you know, plants that it actually interacts quite well with. In the case of the coyote, coyotes are, you know, depending on where they are, they can be seen as pests or they can be seen as, you know, providing ecosystem services, you know, certainly in agricultural lands and in more like, you know, wilderness areas. Coyotes are generally just being coyotes, and sometimes they'll attack livestock, and, you know, depending on the livestock producer, you know, the they may react to that differently. And some people have so many different techniques to try and reduce livestock depredation. You know, some of them have guard dogs for their sheep that actually kind of look like sheep to coyotes. So they're these white dogs that kind of sit among the sheep, and they just, you know, to someone from far away, it just looks like another fluffy sheep, and that's what the coyote thinks as well. And so people try really hard to minimize any conflict, but it doesn't always work. And so then, you know, you get into these issues where what do you do with the coyote that keeps coming back over and over again, attacking your livestock, even though you make all these changes? And that's kind of some of the issues we're facing now in urban California when it comes to coyotes as well. So, you know, what changes can we make to reduce the conflicts?
Exactly. A couple questions. Going back a little bit, is it just my imagination, or over the last 5-10 years, are we having more issues here in Orange County with coyotes? And if so, why?
So historically in Southern California, it's always been kind of a hotbed of activity for urban coyote conflicts. You know, the only person to ever be killed by a coyote in the United States actually happened in Glendale in the 1980s. a little girl called Kelly Keane was actually attacked and killed by coyotes. So it's the only ever you know, death on the United States, and it happened in Southern California. So it's not like it's new, but is it more pronounced? Perhaps. And you know, we've had so many bites in urban Orange County in the last, you know, 3 years. You know, we have this so far this year in Southern California, in LA and Orange anyway, which is certainly kind of one of the hot spots. We've had one bite in Orange, and we've had three bites, I believe, on people in LA, and I think they were in Diamond Bar and Commerce. And but years previous to that, so we've had many bites in Irvine. You know, Irvine is a real hotbed of coyote activity. And you know, certainly last year there was a number of bites, and then the year before that in the Portola neighborhood, not too far from here, actually there were 6 bites in 90 days.
Wow.
So that's a very high frequency of conflict. And it's obviously not just isolated to one neighborhood in Irvine, because it's happened 2 years in a row. Why is it happening? Well, we're not really sure. You know, people say, oh, the drought has a lot to do with human-wildlife conflicts. And so what happens is that people think that the animals are coming from the hills and coming down to take a drink of water. And so that's how we get all these conflicts. And well, what probably is happening is that the drought maybe had some influence on coyote behavior at the, you know, potentially at the start of the drought. It put the population under pressure. But now we have urban coyotes making more urban coyotes, and they make more urban coyotes. And so you just get this increase in population. So the propensity then to experience conflict is much higher. So, you know, is it to do with the drought? Are we having more issues? I think we are having more issues, but we don't have a whole lot of historical data on that issue.
What's causing the issue?
What's causing the issue, or, you know, patterns and trends over the years as well. You know, we haven't been very responsible in keeping track of what is going on with coyote issues over the last few years.
You know, Doctor, I know we want to talk about the coyote app, but perhaps we could also just talk a little bit about what can we do as being good stewards of the land and being just heads up. What can we do as private homeowners about try not to have them bother us? What can we do in our backyard?
Well, I think we can do a lot, actually. You know, one of the number one things is that you need to remember is that, you know, coyotes are wildlife, and they can survive very well on their own. So it's really important to never provide food for coyotes. And so one of the most important things we can do to be responsible citizens and help us to coexist better with wildlife is to try and limit the food sources that are available to coyotes. And that includes, you know, just simple things like making sure your yard is free from trash, making sure the streets are free from trash, making sure your trash cans are covered, making sure the trash cans in your city are covered. You know, and then not encouraging other animals to your yard, you know, like the bird feeder. Okay,
the bird feeder.
Exactly.
So tell me about the bird feeder.
You wouldn't think the bird feeder would be a problem, but you know, what happens is the birds come along, they eat the seed, it drops all over the ground, and then you get rodents and squirrels, and you know some of the bigger animals then, like the skunks and the raccoons and the possums, they come in, they start to clean up all the mess, and then you get the coyotes coming in eating those. So the bird feeder can be a big problem. You know, the trash can be a big problem. And then even leaving out your pet food can be a big problem too. And so when we talk about integrated pest management, no matter what kind of wildlife I talk about and trying to reduce it in your yard, one of the number one things is trying to limit the food. And so if you can take in your pet food, you know, if it's an option, feed your pet inside. If that's not an option, provide the food to your pet for a limited period of time. So, and people say, oh, my dog, he likes to pick at his food bowl, and that's never going to work for me. But if your dog realizes that its food's going to be gone in an hour, well, then it's going to, I mean, they're very smart animals.
Yes.
It's going to learn very quickly.
My dog has learned it's got 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And then it doesn't get breakfast, it doesn't get the next meal till next meal time.
And why do you remove the dog food from your yard?
Because many reasons. I didn't want bugs, ants, anything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about coyotes, but coyotes, I don't want them. Mm-hmm. But one thing we did do is we had issues with our bird feeders. And I tell you, I love my bird feeders, and my bird feeders were absolutely beautiful, except I got rats. Mm-hmm. And I realized I couldn't control my rats until I controlled my bird feeders. And now I don't have bird feeders. I still have beautiful birds in my yard, and my rat problem is down. Mm-hmm. And I guess since my rat problem is down, there's no coyotes looking to eat the rats that are not there.
Yeah, and you know, we
had to take it a step farther.
Yeah, and like, so all everything, like even rats and squirrels, they're also predators of young birds, and they eat eggs. So by removing those pests from your yard, you're not only potentially having an effect on, you know, what the coyotes can come to your yard and eat, but like maybe you're going to encourage more bird life to come to your yard also. So it's all, you know, the big circle of life and all that kind of cliche stuff, but it really does, you know, it really, right down from the bird feeder to all the different types of vegetation in your yard. If you've got lots of really dense vegetation in your yard, and you've a yard, you know, a yard in an area where you already know that there are loads of coyotes, well then coyotes need somewhere to rest sometimes during the day, and they'll sit in under that vegetation and nobody can really see them, but that it gives them a place to hide, and a place to rest, and you know protection from heat or from, at the minute, the rain, or maybe even you know, predation. And predation, you know, they're not really, their only really predator they have is us and our cars. So it's not, when I say predation, I don't mean from other animals. The only thing that really eats coyotes is mountain lions. And if you have a mountain lion in your backyard, you've got more problems than coyotes.
Yes.
So there really are a lot of things we can do. Like things like, you know, keeping your pets on leashes. Okay, it's really important now. We always, you know, we have to be responsible citizens now. The coyotes are never going anywhere, ever. The coyotes are here to stay in Orange County, and they're never going to go anywhere. We're never going to be able to reduce their population. It's just not going to happen. But we need to be able to better coexist. And
work smarter.
Exactly. So we need to be, and we are smarter than coyotes. Now, coyotes are very, very smart animals, but we're people. And, you know, we are able to, you know, make decisions that are not based on food and shelter and water. You know, we have a higher level of consciousness to be smarter. And so if you walk your pet in a leash, a coyote shouldn't be able to get your pet. Now, we have had incidents where pets have been attacked on leash, and then you're talking potentially about a very aggressive coyote. And then, you know, there may have to be some sort of upper management on that coyote. But you, you know, if you have a free roaming cat in Orange County, it's basically coyote food at the minute. You know, you can't expect to have a free roaming cat and have it safe, you know, and it's also ridiculously damaging to the environment in the first place. Not only do, you know, free roaming cats, they kill birds, but they also spread disease. But they're, you know, the new white meat for coyotes. You know, they really, really are. You know, currently we're doing an urban coyote diet study. And what we're doing is we're necropsing coyotes, and we're trying to figure out what they've eaten. And thus far we just removed the stomachs. We haven't had a chance to go in there and see what's in there yet, because we're going to do some DNA analysis as well, because sometimes coyotes, they'll, you know, they eat really quickly and they don't always eat the bones, they eat the soft bits. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to tell when you dig in there, when there's no hard parts, what the coyote has been eating. So that's why we're doing the DNA analysis, to make sure that we know exactly what they're eating, and whether it's, you know, more kind of, you know, wild food or more kind of domesticated food, like dogs and cats and garbage and dog food and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be really interesting to see. But sometimes, you know, you can feel little skulls in there that would be the size of cats. And, you know, we don't want to see people's cats eaten. But if you don't keep them inside and be a responsible pet owner, well, then they're the challenges that you're facing, and they're the risks that you have to take. It's kind of, you know, do you want an outdoor cat, or do you want a live indoor kitty?
Exactly. In the neighborhood I live, I've lived there 18 years now, and I've seen one cat outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought three city cats with me, and they never went more than, well, about 15 feet from the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent most of their time inside. But the one cat that I saw, it was there for about 2 weeks. And it discovered my bird feeder, and then it was gone. And one of my neighbors said she gave up after, I think, 11 cats. They've all been eaten by coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, my goodness. I think I would have given up after one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we've also noticed that we have more wildlife in our yard without having the cats in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot more lizards and different things that are in the yard that are kind of really cool.
Yeah.
That we never had when we had cats.
And people forget that, you know, that free-roaming cats, whether they're feral or owned or anything, you know, they are really damaging to the environment. So maybe the coyotes are providing us a wonderful surprise ecosystem service where they're removing all the feral cats and resulting in some of the more native wildlife coming back. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. You know, we really, really don't know what coyotes are eating in urban Orange County. Now, we've necropsied 225 coyotes thus far. So we're going to have a really good idea what they eat by the time we're finished our study.
Oh, my goodness. Can we have another show when you're done with your study?
Sure.
I'd love to interview you and find out what else is going on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really excited about it, and I don't think before we take our break we'll be able to go through it all, but there is something we want to get out to the public, which will be really great for the homeowners, the public, for the UC system, and it's all about coyotes and finding out more about coyotes and reporting coyotes. Could you tell us a little bit about the new app that's out?
I would be delighted to tell you about the new app. So the new app is called Coyote Catcher, and people have already asked, oh, is that a typo? Was it supposed to be Coyote Catcher? And I was like, no, it's Coyote Catcher, and Catcher is kind of a play on geocache, and geocache is all about, you know, kind of, it's almost like this treasure hunt for information using GPS data. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to find out where the coyotes are, what they're doing, and exactly, you know, where they are. And we're using this new app. It's a desktop app. It's not a native app, so it's not available at the App Store. But we'll be able to tell you some pretty easy ways of how to get at the app to get the information out there.
So let's talk about the app. But first, I want to know how to get there. It's Coyote, and how do you spell Catcher?
Catcher. C A C H E R.
Spell it one more time.
C A C H E R.
Now, I know if you go to Google and you Google in Coyote Catcher, you will come up with the app.
Exactly, and it comes up pretty quick, actually.
It's the first thing there.
Yeah, it's the first one on my cell phone, too. So it's really easy to find. And it's, even though it's what we call a desktop app, it's so mobile-friendly. It's really easy to find. And, you know, you just click on the first link there that comes up, and it's, you know, it's...
And what is it? Tell us what it is. How does it benefit us, and how does it benefit you? First, tell us what it is. How do we use it? Give me the whole scoop.
So it's called Coyote Catcher. So basically, one of our main aims is to try and collect information on where the coyotes are and what they're doing. And so what we're asking citizens to do is we're asking them to come to Coyote Catcher and report their coyote encounters. So what you do is you come to the app, and you on the first page there's two things, and if you're on a desktop, they're side by side. One's about alerts and one's about reporting encounters. Now if you come to the app from a mobile device, there's two things, and they're one under the other. Okay, so you have to scroll down to find the next one. And so what we want the citizens to do is every time they see a coyote, we want them to Google Coyote Catcher, go to the site, and we want them to report it. And so we ask them several different types of questions, because we want to really get to the bottom of what's going on with coyote conflicts in particularly in Southern California, but then, you know, on a statewide scale, and then, you know, maybe even on a national scale, to see what's going on with all these increasing conflicts in different metropolitan areas, especially. Because they do appear to be increasing, But like I said, we don't really have a whole lot of historical data on what was going on and what's happening. So we're asking the citizens to help us with our science. You know, they're the ones that are out walking their dogs. They're the ones that are out, you know, hiking. They're on trails in urban areas. And we're really lucky in Orange County because we've got the most magnificent park system. And, you know, we always interact with wildlife. And so we want people to tell us what's happening. And so we want to tell them if, you know, everything from if they saw a coyote, or if a coyote, you know, appear to maybe follow them or approach them. We want to know if, you know, is it an encounter involving your pet? So like something like, did your pet get attacked or was your pet chased? And then we get into the real nitty gritty of it. We want to know, was your pet on a leash or was your pet off a leash? And was your pet a cat or a dog or other? And I do believe there are some kind of strange pets in Orange County. So we just want to know what's going on. We really, really want to know. So,
and it's really not that hard. I went on there and I saw it, and it's most of it is you could just check boxes.
Mm-hmm. It's really quick to answer the questions.
And where I saw that is in my neighborhood, I want to know what's going on. And the other side of it is you could also, I want to come back to this, but you can also sign up for alerts. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And tell me about that.
So it's really important for me in developing this app that the citizens know what's going on in their neighborhood. And we don't want to incite panic. We really, really don't. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get citizens to be aware of the conflict. The only thing I can kind of compare it to is almost like an Amber Alert. So if there is an Amber Alert, you're not really going to let your kids play around in the yard while there is, you know, some scary person running around taking children away. But if so with Coyote Catcher, if you get a coyote alert, we want people to think, oh, there's like a coyote in the neighborhood. Maybe I should, you know, take these steps to try and, you know, keep my pet safe or keep my family safe, to make sure that, you know, we reduce conflict. And what will happen is if, you know, if someone reports an encounter in your zip code, you will get emailed in real time to tell you what happened in your neighborhood. And then you'll be able to go in, and there's an interactive map on the site as well that's really easy to use, and that'll show you exactly where the incident happened.
So if I was on the corner of First and Main, mm-hmm. and I put it into my phone, mm-hmm. would it show the corner of First and Main, or how close does it get?
So it gets, like, I mean, when I use the app here, mm-hmm. There's two ways you can do it. You can actually zoom in and click on the map and put the position exactly where you want it to be. Because sometimes maybe you're driving your car and you see a coyote. We don't want people to report when they're in their car, but maybe afterwards they'll stop and think, oh, I should use Coyote Catcher and, you know, input where I saw it. And so you can go back and zoom into the map and just press on the map, and your little flag will, you know, or spot will pop up, and, you know, you answer the questions and it's really accurate. Or if you see a coyote and you want to do it in real time, you can do the same thing. You can zoom in and just put it down there. But if you don't know as well, there's a mobile version of the site too, where you just click, it says to access mobile version of this map, click here, and there's a little circle on the map and you just click there, and it's so accurate that when I do it here in my office, it zooms into the exact corner of the building that my office is in. So it's very, very accurate.
Now, that sounds incredible. And what I see that as a use for is I can do this, and if I had a coyote attack my dog and I could plug that in there, anybody who's on the alert system on my street or my neighborhood would get instantaneously, there is a dog that or a coyote that attacked my dog. Or could it, if I saw a sick coyote, mm-hmm. could I put that in there too and say I saw this scrawny coyote in the middle of the day staggering down the street and I think it's rabbit. And I could put that in there, and they would get the alert on that too?
Exactly. So the way we have it, you know, laid out is that, you know, we ask so many questions. And, like, the reason why we ask so many questions, because this is science. You know, we really need to ask certain questions to get to the important information. And so, you know, what we've done is we've kind of condensed them for citizens to make it just a little bit easier to use. We condense them into alert levels. So when you sign up, you get a choice of a red alert, a yellow alert, or a green alert. Now, green alert, if you sign up for a green alert, you basically get alerted about absolutely everything, all the way from if a person sees a coyote all the way to if a person gets bitten by a coyote. Now, if you sign up for a yellow alert, what you'll do is you'll get the yellow alerts and the red alerts. So yellow alerts are things like a pet got attacked off leash. Okay, so that's kind of what we were talking about before, where the, you know, your animal's kind of fair game now if you leave it off the leash. It's not really considered an aggressive interaction. It's more just a coyote doing what a coyote does, being opportunistic and seeing, you know, there's a really fat, hairy, lazy, well-fed cat, and I can eat that instead of eating, you know, going after a wild rabbit or a squirrel or something like
squirrel,
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they already have built-in kind of predatory avoidance mechanisms. So it takes more energy for the coyote to catch the wild food. And why would it do that when it's just so easy just to eat the fat, fluffy cat that's right there, you know, sadly. But if you sign up for the red alerts, you just get the red alerts. And the red alerts are what we would consider the more serious alerts. So things like, obviously, if a person gets bitten, if a pet is attacked on the leash, and then if a pet is actually killed by a coyote. And so, you know, that's not always, you know, if a pet's killed by a coyote, it's not always seen as an aggressive interaction, but we think that people would really want to know if there was a pet killed in their neighborhood, so we can, you know, we can make them aware of what's going on. And like I said, it's not about being, being panicked. It's about being prepared.
Exactly. And, you know, even if it didn't, if it ate a dog or a kitten or a pet in the neighborhood, we all care about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and no matter what the circumstances are, I know I'd want to be able to be more heads up and bring my animals inside if something was happening a few doors away or on the next block.
Yeah, because pets are people's family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I also see this as a win-win because we're getting information about how to protect our pets in our neighborhood and our neighbors' pets, but also it's a win-win for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're able now to collect this data. And so you're using us a little bit as a task force. So it's helping us out, but it's also helping the very strained financial parts of the UC system so we could get more information and using us as your kind of little army, so to speak.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, the Orange County Master Gardeners are like the most wonderful group of people. And, you know, they help extend all sorts of projects, but we need this to get even further, and we want the scientists to help us, or we want the citizens to help us. So this is basically like a citizen science project, and you know, the citizens can help each other through the, you know, reporting the encounters, and that will help people get alerted that have signed up. But also, you know, you're basically providing me with the data that we need to try and be better wildlife managers, to figure out what is going on and where it's going on. And you talked about limited resources. You know, everybody, especially when it comes to wildlife management, we've got really limited resources. And if we knew exactly where the conflicts were occurring, we could really hone in some of the efforts to help educate citizens, to help, you know, maybe create education programs in, you know, neighborhoods that are real hotspots.
Yeah, and maybe there are hotspots that are brewing right now that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And by the neighbors reporting this, it now goes to you and you're going, oh, this area has a lot more activity than we thought. This could be a potential issue. Maybe it needs some of our attention.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I intended with this app. So it's not just me getting the data. It's also the external wildlife management people getting the data. So the city animal services get the data. You know, OC Animal Care will have access to the data if they want as well. And so there's the potential there to be able to react to these situations. Now I'm kind of in my office or in the field. I can't really go out and react to individual reports. But there is a question down there that asks, would you like this report to go to your local animal services?
Oh, how great is that?
I mean, it's amazing, right?
A lot of times we have people, I talk to people, say, I don't know who to report it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
And so this is an app that you could say, hey, we're listening. This is going to go, you fill this out. It takes a minute or so to fill it out. And you can choose to report that. That is brilliant.
So it's great. And so obviously we have to have, you know, your city engaged in this process too. And so we, over the last 2 weeks, we had several cities animal control agencies. We had a lot of police departments at two trainings we held. We held one here in Irvine, and we held one at the Los Angeles Agricultural Commissioner's Office in Arcadia. And so we kind of focus a lot in Orange County on the Orange County cities, but we did have a few cities come in from Los Angeles County as well. And then in LA, we had only Los Angeles cities, but we basically covered, there was basically representatives either through, you know, animal services or through Orange County animal care, or, you know, city representatives, so city management at the meeting. We covered every single city in Orange County and unincorporated Orange County. So a lot of people know, a lot of animal, you know, animal services people know about this app now. So if you do report it, you know, and if you do approve to have your details furthered to the animal services, that will be available. And, you know, citizens can see that feature. It's a backdoor into the data that's, you know, password protected and stuff like that. But you still have to approve of your, you know, your details going forward to the animal services. You have to almost like release your coyote encounter.
Doctor, I just have to take a quick break and let our listeners know that they are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, and that the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org. You can access shows live or as podcasts by going online to kuci.org. Now, I have some questions about reporting this. So does it automatically go to all the cities? Not all the cities are hooked up. Is it something that we can ask our cities?
Definitely. So it's very important to protect people's information. And so we have something called the Internal Review Board. And I don't know if the listeners would be very familiar with those kind of processes, but it's very important for us that we build a system that even so that the people's information is protected, because we're asking for people's names, we're asking for their phone numbers, we're asking for their email addresses. So all of that information is protected on a secure server at UC Davis. Because that's kind of the where the brains of our operation tend to be, and so what you do is then when we ask you to if you want your information furthered to an animal services you know in your area, that's when you release your information. Okay, and it's completely voluntary. You do not have to do it if you do not want to do it.
So it's very private what you're doing, but if you want to release it to the local.
So if you want a phone call from your animal services, that gives them ability then to see your phone number or your email address, because otherwise how would they know? Okay, and so what it is they...
It also protects them from one person calling over and over and over again about the same...
Exactly. And that's, you know, we don't mind. If you see the same coyote every day and you want to report it, we would love that. You know, that's good for us to know. You know, that's the ideal situation would be if everybody knows about the app and that every time they see a coyote, they report it. Okay, that's how we get the most accurate information. But back to the privacy of the data, you know, that is an important part to us, but we can't have the cities react to it unless, you know, the citizens actually release that information. And so we actually made it that question required, because we want people to say, yes, I would like a call, or no, I would like a call. And so it doesn't guarantee a call, because once again, like we said, we have to have the cities engaged. So, you know, we have, you know, cities that will really want to use this system, but some other cities already have systems in place. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't have access to that data, but it won't necessarily be in on the Coyote Cacher map. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So some cities already have really, really great, you know, kind of coyote reporting procedures already in place. Some cities do, most cities don't, unfortunately. And I always say this, but you can't manage what you can't measure. And so if you don't have any data to react to, then you don't really have any business to react.
Is this something that people can actually call their city and say, can you hook up to this?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and who would they call?
In their city?
Yeah, like if I live in X city, and I'd love to have this as part of, I'd like to, my people to know about it, the animal control, and everybody else to know about it. Who would I call to say, can you hook up to this?
Well, there's probably two types of people you could call. You could call someone in the city manager's office, definitely. But the other type of people are, it depends. Does your city have an animal services in their city? Because some cities in Orange County are contracted out to Orange County Animal Care and Control. Mm-hmm. And some cities have their own animal services. So Costa Mesa has their own animal services. Newport Beach has their own animal services. Laguna Beach and Laguna Woods, they're the same animal services. Let me think, my geography of Orange County is starting to fail me now. I think Dana Point and San Clemente, I think they have their own animal services.
When you say animal services,
yes,
what does that mean?
It means all sorts of things, and it can be very, you know, each animal service, they're very individual, I'd say. You know, some of them provide different services. Most of it is domestic animals, because that's the kind of animal services you would expect from an urban, a very densely urban area like Orange County. But things have changed in Orange County. Now we have, you know, and not now, but we've always had, you know, really beautiful parks and really nice wilderness areas right in the middle of our cities. Like right in the middle of our cities. You think of like places like Laguna Canyon, you think of like, you know, places like North Tustin, Orange, Irvine, Anaheim, Yorba Linda, they all, you know, back up into these wonderful kind of wilderness areas. So, you know, not only have we always had coyotes, we've always had skunks and raccoons and, you know, the odd mountain lions, bobcats, you know, we have. So now animal services are, you know, have to interact with these on some level. And remember what we said earlier on, you know, cats are a food source now, and, you know, animal services have a big part to play in that sometimes. You know, sometimes cities or animal services have big, you know, feral cat programs, and they do trap, neuter and release, and they release the cats back into the environment. And are they creating a bigger problem? Are we actually feeding more coyotes because of these feral cat programs? We don't know. That's something that we're actually looking into with the Cal State Fullerton. And we have a really great master's student, and she's helping with the diet study. But she's also looking at, you know, where different cat colonies are. Because cat colonies are maintained populations of feral cats. And what happens is that they provide food for cats. But now it looks like they're not just providing food for cats, they're providing food for coyotes too. And I don't mean that the coyotes are eating the cats. The coyotes are also coming to these colonies and eating the food that people have left for the cats. So it's almost like a double whammy now. Now we have, you know, the food to feed the feral cats that the coyotes can eat. But then you've got the food that maintains the feral cats that the coyotes can also eat. They can eat the feral cats themselves. So it's... Yeah, it's a big...
It's difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult. You know, people really like, cats. But cats are pets. Domestic animals are for people inside. Feral cats, like I said, you know, there's so many diseases associated with cats in general, you know, because they have fleas. And fleas are huge vectors of disease. And so it's really important that we try and, you know, control things like that. Typhus is a disease that we have here in Orange County. They have it in LA County as well. And I think one of the other few places that they have in the United States is Texas that has typhus. And people die from typhus. And people in Orange County have died from typhus.
And cats carry it.
And cats carry the fleas that carry the typhus. And we're actually looking to see if the coyotes carry that disease too, because we've figured out that feral cats and coyotes spend so much, you know, either spend time together or occupy the same spaces now. So we want to make sure that coyotes aren't also going to be a carrier of the fleas that are vectors of this disease. So it's such a complicated cycle of, you know, food and space and disease. And it's important to be aware of these things, because you said earlier about, you know, maybe reporting a rabid coyote. We haven't had rabies in a coyote for years and years and years in Orange County. But there are other issues, like, you know, carnivores are actually really good sentinels of plague. Now, we haven't had a plague positive animal in Orange County for a really long time, but it's, you know, if we test all our coyotes for plague, and that would give us a really good indication, as if there was like a squirrel population, would it be a really bad plague issue. So it's so interesting, you know, this whole, like, you know, urban wildlife interface issue and all the different diseases and then all the introduced animals and then all the predators in on top of it and how they all interact. And we don't really have a whole lot of information about what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. I want to stop for just a second and tell everybody, because some people that are listening to the show are driving around. And so we're talking about an app called
Coyote Catcher.
And how do you spell that?
C-A-C-H-E-R.
Google that. If you want to find out when coyotes are in your neighborhood or if you want to report coyotes, Google
Coyote Catcher.
It's private for the most part, and you'll find out more about that. And it could help you report issues with coyotes or sightings with coyotes, and it could also let your neighbors know, and you could also be put on an alert when there's a coyote in your neighborhood. So just a quick, I know we're on a train of thought, but just in case somebody's driving and didn't catch what we're talking about, also you can go to our Master Gardener, UC Master Gardeners of Orange County website, and that this show will be on the website, and you can listen to it there, and you can hear it in full length there. And you could also, how would we find out about coyotes if we wanted to Google coyotes? Any UC websites?
Sure there is. I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's very important when you're researching, you know, different animals to make sure that you go to a reliable source. And because there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of misinformation about everything out there. And that also includes coyotes. So, you know, we do have a lot of UC resources. I think a really good resource is the UCIPM website. And, you know, if you go to UCIPM, I don't know what their address. Do you know what their address is?
Can they just Google UCIPM?
Yeah, I mean, you could use
our drivers. Our people are driving out there,
yeah.
So I tell everybody to Google UCIPM, University of California Integrative Pest Management.
And they have a range of really great pest notes that I'm sure your listeners hear about all the time, because they cover everything from plants to viruses to insects. But there's also a really great wildlife section, and the coyotes are in there too, and it gives some tips and some tricks about, you know, trying to be, you know, more responsible, and also what kind of conflicts you could expect if there are coyotes in your neighborhood.
Great. Where should we go from here?
Wherever you want. We can talk more about coyotes, or we can talk more about other wildlife.
Well, I think coyotes, we've covered what we can do in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just be really mindful, keeping stuff out of our yard,
mm-hmm.
Keeping food, things that they would like,
mm-hmm.
keeping our animals on leashes,
mm-hmm.
Overgrowth in our yard.
Yeah, there are other things you can do too. You know, there's, you know, you can try and exclude coyotes. It's difficult. So coyotes can can easily clear a 6-foot fence or wall.
I thought they can jump a lot higher than that.
So that's what I mean. They can easily clear a 6-foot. So people say up to 8-foot. But I understand that in Orange County, there's lots of different city ordinances. That means that you can't, you know, you couldn't have an 8-foot wall. So there's a few things you could try. So one of the things is you could put some sort of a roller on the top of your fence or the top of your wall. And basically what it does is it's the roller is kind of free moving. So when the coyote goes to jump or try and get a foothold on the top of your wall or your fence line, it hits the roller and it slides off. Does that make sense?
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So I understand
they can't
that
get a foothold on.
Yeah, I understand that your listeners can't hear my hands moving, but they basically roll off it. And I think it kind of serves two purposes, because if you have pets that are escape artists, it also works the other way around, so they can get a foothold on the inside of your yard to try and get out. So we have no efficacy on whether, you know, the like how effective these things are, but, you know, I think we should be trying everything to do it. Now the other thing that's important is that, you know, a lot of people have backyard poultry. A lot of people, some people have, you know, bunnies and things like that, and it's important to try and protect them as well. You know, people, some people see them as pets and some people don't, but it's still a food source to the coyotes, so it's important to, you know, make sure that they're enclosed. And coyotes are generally nocturnal, but everybody that's listened to this has probably seen a coyote out and about during the day in Orange County. And it's not unusual behavior. It's not considered, you know, weird or, you know, that coyote's up to something. That coyote's just being a coyote. Probably what's happened is coyotes are, you know, they're very well known to switch prey. So
what does that mean?
It means that, you know, they could be, you know, go to a place and they're like rabbit, 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 eating another rabbit. Oh, there's another rabbit. They don't care what they eat for dinner. So they can have rabbit every single day of the week. But all of a sudden, either they all switch their prey resource. So all of a sudden, it could be squirrel, 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 squirrel. Now, in an urban environment, there's so many prey resources. And, you know, coyotes are attacking pets and killing pets. And when are our pets most active?
During the day.
And that could be potentially why we're seeing more coyotes out during the day, is because their prey resources are very active during the day. So who knows? Like, really, who knows what's happening? But it's seeing a coyote during the day is not abnormal. I see them all the time.
I see them all the time.
Yeah. And I
live up in the hills. It's normal.
Well, I don't live in the hills. I live in, you know, Huntington Beach, and I drive through Costa Mesa, and then I drive through Newport Beach, and then I end up in Irvine, and I see them all the time. I don't drive by any wilderness. You know, I just see them everywhere.
Wow.
And so they're very, very urban. You know, they don't rely necessarily on large open spaces. You know, I don't know if you know this, but there are packs of coyotes living in downtown Chicago.
I heard also in New York.
And in New York, yeah. And so
they're urbanized.
Oh my God, so urban. They're such wonderful animals. They're very, very adaptable. You know, they don't really, like I said, they can switch their prey really easily.
Oh,
right?
You mean like trash and trash cans.
Exactly, like trash and trash cans, or dog food on the, you know, the back step of your doorway, or unfortunately your pets. And that's something that we don't want that to happen, you know. And I understand that, you know, feral cats, you know, they cause a lot of damage to the environment, but I don't want to see a cat, you know, eaten, and I don't want someone that, you know, a caretaker of a colony to come across anything like that. You know, that's really upsetting, but it's important that we do as much as we can do to protect our resources. And that includes, like, our family members,
our children,
our hairy family members, and yeah, our children, you know.
And
so,
ourselves.
Exactly. And so, you know,
we don't want them to become aggressive.
No, we want to try and keep them as afraid of people as possible. And what happens is, you know, we have like these bad actors. And, you know, so cities are kind of being forced to, you know, try and do something about that. And unfortunately, that sometimes results in a lethal control problem program. But what do you do when coyotes are biting humans?
It's kind of like the bears up in the backcountry.
Yeah.
If you keep leaving food out for the bears, then they're going to start breaking into your car. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have an aggressive bear, and then you have to kill the bear.
Mm-hmm,
which is really sad, because we left food in our car or left
yeah.
food on our picnic table.
Yeah. But we, you know, they're likely that there are coyotes that are beyond hazing. And we haven't really talked a lot about hazing either. And hazing is something that's kind of built into the app a little bit as well. Because
can we talk about it?
Sure, yeah.
Tell me about hazing. What is hazing?
So hazing is basically trying to somehow condition a coyote. So we're trying to change its attitude towards humans. We're trying to make them either keep them afraid or make them afraid. And so what they suggest with hazing is that you make yourself really big, and you wave your arms about, and you make loads of noises. And I had, you know, in Newport Beach, the animal control there, they had, you know, whistles to try to help people haze. And I think in Costa Mesa, they had like different like cans that, you know, like you could like shake, and they made like, you know, like really loud noises and stuff like that. And, you know, they kind of are supposed to make the coyote afraid. Do they work? I have absolutely no idea if hazing works.
But we could find out through people using this app,
because
they might not have clickers with them or whatever, but they could yell and scream.
Yeah. And, so
they could see how the coyotes act and react.
Yeah.
And then report it back to you. So
yeah,
that would be good research for the UC system. Not
yeah.
only knowing that there's a coyote in the neighborhood, knowing what they did. Now, we're not telling you to go chase a coyote or get in conflict with a coyote. We're just talking about yelling, screaming, stomping, mm-hmm. and don't interfere with the coyote.
Yeah, it's not, you know, you could approach a perfectly healthy coyote, you know, and it should run away. But if that coyote doesn't run away, you know, there's something not right there. Okay, it's probably lost its natural fear of humans.
And you need to know about it.
Yeah, and so we want to know that stuff.
You're our line of defense, right?
Yeah, I hope so, because we want to make better wildlife decisions. You know, maybe if coyotes are reacting really well to hazing, well, maybe we need to make it part of school programs. And we're not saying that you should send the kids out there and, you know, these little people that look like prey to haze coyotes. But maybe they need to know more about, like, you know, these non-lethal control methods. But I cannot, right, as of now, we have zero data on how effective hazing is. We don't know if it's just effective in the short term or if it actually has any effects in the long term. And we need to know these things, because if we have better alternatives to lethal management, which we currently don't really have, we need to know about them, because, you know, nobody wants to go out there and kill a coyote. Nobody, absolutely nobody. So that's not the ideal situation for anybody.
Well, this would be great if we could all do that, right?
It
so everybody
amazing.
Listening, if you can just do, what is the name of the app again?
It's Coyote Casher. And if you just Google Coyote and then C-A-C-H-E-R.
And sign up for the both the alerts. And also you can also put down if you've seen a coyote, if you have tried to
haze it,
if it has bothered you, what you've done. And it really, really, really helps out. It's not only for you, but it's for you and your neighbors. And if your neighbors, if you know about this, tell your neighbors. You know, try to get your neighbors involved. And if you, we have an app, you could put it on Facebook, social media, and try to get your community involved with this, because the more people that know about this app, the more people that will be using it, the safer you'll be, the more educated the UC system will be, and the better we'll be able to deal with our interactions with coyotes. Is that correct?
That's totally right. You know, we're not, you know, all of this is all voluntary. So you don't have to sign up for alerts if you don't really want to sign up for alerts. But if you could, it would be really great that every time you see you have an encounter, you put it in there. So someone in your neighborhood that does care if the coyote's there and that has signed up for alert will be alerted to the presence of coyotes, because, you know, you could potentially be saving your pet or a neighbor's pet or a potential aggressive interaction between maybe a coyote and a human.
And you could really be helping the UC system out.
Not
you know,
only just the UC system, but like all the people that, like all the cities that have to manage coyotes, all the organizations, you know, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, you know, this data could really help us make and drive some really great, you know, coyote management plans.
And I think I hear a lot of us are really concerned about coyotes, and it seems to be more and more coming into the urban areas,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be protecting us. You know,
yeah, you know,
really,
I think we, you know, I think
it's like, one of those things we kind of give back, but then it's really about us in the long term, because you never know when that coyote's next to you, that dangerous
coyote. Yeah, and,
coyote.
You know, people shouldn't think that coyotes are dangerous, because they're not all of them are. It's, you know, it's the same way people are not always dangerous, but some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we need to be, like I talked about, you know, 20 years ago, most people didn't lock their door. Okay, now almost everybody locks their door, or hopefully. So, you know, we want to just change people's behavior slightly. You know, it's not really acceptable to let your pet, like, freely roam anymore. It's actually illegal in some cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to keep your pet in a leash. And, you know, it's important to just remember that, you know, by helping us get better science, we can help the cities make better decisions. But we can also, you know, you, the citizen, can help your neighbors just... You know, and you're not just talking about protecting people, pets and children. You're also talking about, you know, protecting the coyotes, because, you know, you're reducing
yeah.
the conflict. So, you know, there's, you know, that's just the way it is. And so hopefully,
you know, a lot of us do care about the coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel that they've been here before us. They have rights. We're the ones that going into their territory, but we also want to be safe. So if you're thinking in the best interest of the coyotes, mm-hmm. this is a good thing to do, too.
Yeah, and like, you know, the coyotes kind of have, they have rights, but they also have responsibilities. And their responsibility is to be a wild animal and be afraid of humans, okay? And it's not happening all the time. So how do you react to that? That's kind of up to the individual city. But if you don't react appropriately, you know, it's not always great. You know, we do get bites, and we've had bites in several cities last year in Orange County, and nobody wants to go there. You know, nobody. That's like, you know, that's traumatizing. It's just, you know, it's potentially very, very dangerous. A lot of the attacks on children in Orange County have been ambush attacks, where the coyote has gone straight for the neck or the head.
Oh, geez.
So it is very, it can be very dangerous. Now, most coyotes do not act like that, okay? We don't want people to think that, oh my God, there's a coyote. You know, you should respect the animal. They're very beautiful. I'm up close to coyotes all the time, so I get to really appreciate, like, how amazing their coats are, and they're very dense and, you know, actually quite soft. And, you know, their eyes are this amazing yellow color. And, you know, you see their big, strong teeth, but you have to understand that those teeth have potential to cause damage. And I used to work all the time in outdoor education, and the kids will always ask, oh, does it bite? Well, anything with a mouth can bite you. okay, and that's important to understand. But you know, the majority of the coyotes in Orange County act like coyotes. They, you know, they don't take risks, which is what would happen if it came close to a human. But we have a certain percentage, it seems, that are taking very high level risks, coming very close to humans, biting adults. So these are not just not just attacks on kids. Also, several of them are on adults. And that's a screwy coyote there. There's not just something not right there. You know, that coyote.
And you need to know about it.
Yes, we need to know about it. You know, we need to alert the animal control agencies, which, if your animal control agency, like we said, is involved and engaged in this process, they'll already have, you know, the passwords and stuff to get into that data. So, yeah.
Well, Doctor, we're coming to the close. We have a couple more minutes left. What would be your closing thoughts on today?
Well, we would just really like to, you know, help people out with these issues. You know, we don't want, it's not all just about me. It's about you, okay? It's about you. It's about you trying to get, you know, be safer, be more engaged, helping your neighbors not lose their pets, and just letting them be aware of what's going on. And, you know, don't panic. Coyotes are not coming after, you know, your children and your pets. But, you know, keep your... I was about to say keep your children on a leash. You can do that if you wanted to, but
we won't go there today.
Keep your pets on a leash. Keep your, you know, if you know that there are coyote conflicts in your neighborhood, maybe you don't want your kids to play next to dense vegetation.
Maybe keep your food in the dog food in the house,
exactly.
And your animal food in the house, and watch out for bird feeders.
Bird feeders are the start and the finish of all sorts of different issues. Like you said, with your rodent problems, and you still have loads of birds in your yard, right?
Oh, I could show you pictures. I have egrets and herons and birds.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, there are so many opportunities with this app for, you know, the citizens to help inform the scientists, but then for the scientists to come back and help inform the citizens as well. So,
and what is the name of the app again, and how do you spell it?
It's Coyote Cacher, and you spell Cacher C-A-C-H-E-R, and you can just Google it. It's really easy. I think for myself and yourself, it comes up very, very, you know, the very, very first link. And if you need more information, there's, you know, information on how to, you know, coexist with coyotes in urban areas. But then there's also the interactive map that will not show you what's going on in your neighborhood, but it'll show you what's going on in other neighborhoods as well. So we're hoping that eventually all the neighborhoods will be all engaged and we'll know exactly where all the coyotes are.
That'll be wonderful. And if you have any other questions that we haven't answered today, you could also Google or Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. That's UC, University of California, Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. And our homepage will pop up, and there's something called Ask a Question and a hotline. And we have a group of people that love answering questions, and it could be about coyotes, it could be about a plant in your yard. But feel free, if you have any questions, just Google UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, California. Make sure you put California in there because you could end up in New York or Florida. And on the left-hand side, there is Ask a Question. And so you could ask questions there. You can also go on, tell us about our website again.
The
Coyote Cacher.
The Coyote Cacher. So the site address, if you want to go directly to the site, is www.ucanr.edu/Coyote Cacher.
And easier, just write Coyote Kit.
In Google. That's how I go there.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate all the information. And I think our listening audience, I hope you guys will look up this app because I think it's important. It'll help all of us. It's something that doesn't help just one person, but it could help ourselves and it could help our neighbors. Mm-hmm. It could help management of coyotes on the long term in Orange County. So please check that out if you have time. We'd really appreciate it. And we could really use your help. And I am Katrina Kirkaby, and I'm your Master Gardener host of the day. And I thank you all for being with me. And until next week, have a joyous week.